B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Samach Beis. We're going to start 16 lines from the top of the Omud. And we're going to go back to a braisa we learned at the top of Daf Samach Aleph Omud Beis. And we're not going to learn the whole braisa again now, but the braisa there was discussing whether one can learn the halacha of if somebody shechted a korban Pesach for areilim as well as for mehulim. Half of the group were areilim, people who hadn't done bris milah, people who were not allowed to eat the korban Pesach, and the other half of the group were mehulim, they were able to eat the korban Pesach. And the question was, is a korban that was shechted with the intention of both, is it kosher or posel? And the Gemara wanted to learn from Tumah, that the Gemara took it for granted that miktas Tumah is not kakol Tumah, which means that if you shechted it for part of a group which was tomei, part of a group that was tohir, tomeim also cannot eat the korban Pesach. And since over there, since part of the group was tohir, it's kosher, so too if part of the group is mehulim, it's the korban Pesach is kosher. That's what the braisa wanted to learn from Tumah to Oral. And we're going to have to understand why is it more taken for granted that by Tumah, if the whole group is not Tomei, it's kosher, why is it more taken for granted than Areilim itself? Areilim is a Mishnah, and the same Mishnah as we saw before, that half the group are Areilim, half the group are Tumeim. It's in the same Mishnah. So there must be some reason that Tumeim is more straightforward and can be used as a source for Areilim. And then the Gemara continued, or the braisa there continued, and said that there's something similar between areilim and tumah, and that both of them do not apply to other korbonis. Other korbonis, an oral or a tomei can send the korbonis. They cannot eat the korban, but they can send the korban to their azara to be shechted for them, and it will be registered, so to speak, on their name. But korban Pesach, they cannot. And that's something in common between oral and tomei. And then the Gemara said, no, but there's something which they don't have in common, and that is that an oral, loy hutar michloloi, an oral can never eat from the Korban Pesach, however, tumah is hutar michloloi, there are exceptions to the rule. And the Braisa has obviously got other details there which we haven't mentioned, but that's what's important for the coming sugya. That means we've mentioned three times the concept of tumah. One, that it can be used to teach us a halacha by areilim. The second, that it's similar to areilim in as much as it's einoy noyeg b'kol azvochim. It's a chumrah, which, or halacha, which is unique to Korban Pesach. And the third time the braisa mentioned it was that it's hutar michloloi, that it does have an exception. There are places where tumah is mutar, unlike oral, where areilus is never mutar. So those three points we now have to discuss. In what context are we going to discuss this? We know that the concept of tumah has two faces regarding kochim. Number one, if the animal itself, if the meat itself, the korban itself became tomei, are you allowed to eat such a korban? The answer is definitely not. But that's one concept of tumah, which is when the bosor, tumas bosor, when the bosor, when the meat is tomei, that one's not allowed to eat it. There's another halacha, and that is whether the person is tomei. So a person who's tomei, number one, can he eat the korban? Obviously not, but that's another aspect of tumah. And can he send his korbonis? It's not only when if the person himself is tomei, there's always the discussion, I cannot eat the korban, can I send a korban to be on my name or not? And that's what we're going to have to understand, all the three points in the braisa that we mentioned, tumah, which tumah are we talking about? Are we talking about tumas gavra, the person, or are we talking about tumas bosor, the korban itself? Let's see this inside. Omer le marzutra bereidivar of mori l'ravina. Marzutra said to Ravina as follows. Katoni we learnt in the braisa, hoil v'orlo poiseles v'tumah poiseles. We know that if one shechted a korban Pesach exclusively just for areilim, the korban is posel. If it was shechted exclusively for tumeim, it's posel. Ma tumah, In the same way as tuma, loy oso ba miktsas tuma kechol tuma. In the same way as tuma, we know that if only part of the group that he intended it for were tomei and part of the group were toher, that the korban is kosher. Afar lo so too, if only part of the group are arelim, loy oso miktsas arlo kechol arlo. It's not as if the whole group are arelim, and the korban will be kosher. That's the end quote from the Braisa. Says the Gemara, or says Marzutra to Ravina, Hai Tuma, this Tuma mentioned in this stage in the Braisa, Hey Chadomi, what Tuma are we talking about? I Leima B'Tumas Gavra. Are we talking about that the people are Tumeim? That means he shechted the korban for half of a group of people who are Tumei, half of a group of people who are not Tumei. Umay Loi Oso Bo Miktas Tuma Kechol Tuma. And what does it mean that if that having just partly tuma is not as if the whole thing is tuma? If 4 or 5 men in the group are tomei, and 4 or 5 of the men are tohir, then the fact that he intended the korban also to be for the tumeim does not make the whole korban pesach posel. The Gemara is now asking, or this is Marzutra asking, that Gaba Orlonami Holoi Posli. If you're talking about half a group being Toyer, half a group being Tomei, well, if that's what you're talking about, then what's the difference between Tomei and Orlo? Why do you think you can learn from Tuma to Orlo? It's the very same Mishnah that said part of a group that is Tomeim, the Korban is kosher, and part of the group that are Arelim, the Korban is kosher. Holoi posla, ditnan lemulim ularelim kosher. Maishna tuma de pshitule, why is the braisa assuming that tuma is poshut, is more straightforward, umaishna orlo de mesapkele? Because the content of the braisa that we saw on daf samachala from the base was yochel yifsel b'nei chabura boin imoi. When you have part of the group are arelim, part of the group are muhulim, we don't know what the halach is, and we're learning from tuma. Why is it more clear to you tuma than arelim? So the Gemara or Marzutra proves from there, elo b'tumas bosor. We're actually talking about tumas bosor. It's not like we said before that we're talking about that part of the group are toir, part of the group are tomei. No, we're talking about part of the korban was tomei, part of the korban was toir. And what does it mean that if part of the korban is toir and part is tomei, that we say the korban is toir? What? How does that work? How do you have something which is half tomei and half toir? Umay loy oso ba miktsas tuma kechol tuma. Deilu itmi chad meivorim. If just part of the limbs of the animal, in this case it would be the intestines, the insides, the innards of the animal, which has separated from the korban, and they're roasted, they're first taken out of the korban before being roasted. Now those bnei me'ayim, those evarim, that hide itmi sorfinonle. If just they became tomei, you have to burn them like you burn any korban that became tomei. V'ido chochlinonle. But the rest of the korban, of course, still toher. You can eat it. Whatever made this tomei didn't make this tomei. It became tomei only after it left the animal. And that's really taken for granted. Why should a part of the animal that didn't touch something tomei be tomei? And that's what the braisa means, that in the same way as tuma, if part of the animal became tomei, the rest of the animal doesn't become posel. Just because of that, so too, in the case of arelim and muhulim, if part of the group are arelim, part of the group are muhulim, that it is kosher. And then we have a good reason to understand why we're learning from tuma to arelim. It's not because the tuma in the braisa is not talking about part of the group being tomei, part of the group being toher, rather part of the animal being toher and part being tomei. So continues the Gemara. B'mayu kimta. So that first stage of the braisa where we want to learn orlo from tuma, we just said now, what aspect of tuma are we learning from? B'tumas bosor. L'eim seifa. Let's move to the stage 2 of the braisa that we mentioned before. Quote, Donin dovor she'einu neig b'kol hazvachim, mi dovor she'einu neig b'kol hazvachim, v'al yuchiach zman she'neig b'kol hazvachim. End quote. The braisa said that the reason we should learn the halachas of part of the group being arelim from tuma rather than from Miktazman, which was the other option to learn Orlov from in the Braisa, and to learn out from that with Machsheves Chutz Milizmanoi, that if you have a Machshava to eat the Korban after the time allotted to it, then which is Pigul, Machsheves Chutz Lizmanoi, even if you had in mind just to eat one Kazayis Chutz Lizmanoi, nonetheless, we say that the whole korban is possible, and the Braisa was contemplating learning from there that so too, if just part of the group are arelim, that the whole group, the whole korban is possible. So it says no. The Braisa said that there's a similarity between Orla and Tumah, and that is that both of them do not apply. That means the aspect of Tumah and the aspect of Orla referred to here does not apply to any other korbanos, unlike Machsheves Chutz Lizmanoi, which applies to other korbanos as well. And that when we learned of Samach Aleph Amud Beis, how did we explain that? We said that even though an oral and tumah is never allowed to eat any korban, but Meshalchin korban Oseim, they can send the korban. Korban Pesach has its own chumrah, that you cannot send the korban Pesach. Since the main point of the Korban Pesach is to eat it, unlike other korbanos that the main point is to get atonement, and therefore even if you don't eat it, you could still get atonement by sprinkling the blood, Korban Pesach, it needs to be eaten. And since the Oral and the Tomei cannot eat it, therefore they cannot even send the Korban Pesach on their behalf. That's how we learned till now. But now the Gemara is discussing that. Umay Tumah. Which Tumah are we talking about here that we say applies uniquely to Korban Pesach and doesn't apply to other Korbanos? As with Orla. Inema Tumas Bosor, if like we saw before, that the first part of the Braisa that speaks about Tumah is talking about Tumas Bosor, and we're trying to prove that you should learn Orla from Tumas Bosor, because Tumas Bosor and Orla both don't apply to other Korbanos, is that true? Am I einu noig b'kol hazvachim? If the korban itself is tomei, tumas basar, of course it applies to all korbanos. Elo pshita, it must be, but tumas gavri. It must be talking about a tumah where the person is tumah. Umay einu noig b'kol hazvachim. And what does it mean that it doesn't apply to other korbanos, it only applies to korban pesach? De'ilu b'kol hazvachim, because others korbanos, oral the tomei mushalchin korbanosim. The oral and the tomei, they can send the korban on their behalf to the Beis Hamikdash to be shechted for them. Ve'ilu b'pesach, however, regarding korban pesach, oral the tomei in mushalchin pischem. So at this point, Marzutra has proven that the tumah that we're trying to learn from at the beginning of the Braisa is tumas basar. When the Gemara says that the reason you should learn from tumah is because it's similar to Orla, in as much as it doesn't apply with other korbanos, it must be talking about Tumas Gavra, where the person is Tommy. How does that work? How can you bring proof from Tumas Gavra to the fact that we're going to compare Orla to Tumas Bosor? Reisha b'Tumas Bosor v'Seifa b'Tumas Gavra, that was Marzutra's question to Ravina. Omarli, so Ravina answered to Marzutra in... It could be shame tumah koparich. It means it's true that what we're trying to learn from is tumas basar. That in the same way as tumas basar, if part of the meat became tomei, the rest of the meat is still kosher. However, when we're trying to understand whether to learn from tumah or whether to learn from pigul, then we're looking at the entirety of tumah. Since tumah also includes tumas gavra, and tumas gavra, there's an aspect of tumas gavra that applies uniquely to korban pesach, as with orla, and therefore that was what the Gemara said. That's what the Braisa said was a reason to learn orla from tumah, even though the aspect of tumah which is similar to orla is not the same aspect of tumah from where we would learn the halacha. The Braisa is originally trying to learn that if just part of the group are arelim, the korban is still kosher. V'ibois ema, a second answer, says the Gemara, seifa nami b'tumas basar. The second stage of the Braisa that we quoted, where tumah is unique to korban pesach, could indeed be talking about when the korban is tomei. So the question is that's not unique to korban pesach. A korban which is tomei, any korban in the world, you can't eat it. what's unique about Pesach? You know what it means, that it cannot be eaten, that it doesn't apply by the other korbonis? Because there's one aspect in Korban Pesach which Tumas Bosor is different. Because in other korbonis, bein shenitma chelev ubosor kaim, ubein shenitma bosor v'chelev kaim, zayir kes adom. With other korbonis, irrespective of whether just the fats are still tohir, or just the meat is still tohir, there's a good enough reason to sprinkle the blood. Ve'ilu bePesach, however, regarding Korban Pesach, nitma chelev ubosor kaim, if the parts that are going to go on the Mizbeach became tomei, but the meat is still tohir, zayir kes adom, you can sprinkle the blood because there's meat there that's going to be eaten. Nitma basar, v'chelev kaim. If, however, the meat became tomei, even though the chalovim, those fats, are not tomei, they are tohir, einoi zayir kes adom. And that is unique by Korban Pesach. That means tumas basar. Of course, tumas basar, that you're not allowed to eat the basar, that's the same with all korbanos. What's unique by Tumas Basar, that's unique to Korban Pesach, that, yes, the point that if the Basar is Tomei and the Chelev is still Tohir, that with all other korbanos you would sprinkle the blood. However, regarding Korban Pesach, you would not sprinkle the blood. And since there's a unique halacha in Tumas Basar by Korban Pesach, therefore it's similar to Arelus, which also has a unique halacha, inasmuch as an oral cannot send the korbonis, the Korban Pesach, unlike other korbonis that an oral can send it in. And therefore, that's what the Braisa said in the second stage of the Braisa, that we can learn oral from Tuma. Continues the Gemara. V'mayu kimta, let's go back to what we said at the beginning, that the first step, when we're trying to learn in the Braisa oral from Tuma, we must be learning out oral from Tumas Basar. Then the same way as Tumas Basar, if part of the animal became Tomei, the rest of the animal is still kosher, providing obviously it became Tomei after it was removed from the animal, and then it's just like one limb became Tomei, the rest of the meat stays Tohir. And we learn from there that if part of the group that he intended the Korban Pesach for are Arelim, and part are Mehulim, that the Korban is kosher. B'mayakim to B'tumas Basar. Eima Seifa, let's move to the end of the Braisa, the third point that we mentioned in the Braisa, where the Braisa said that the reason not to learn Orla from Tumah is because there's something different between them. That Orla is Lohutar Michloli. There's no heter, and Orla is never allowed to eat any Korban, ever. And in that aspect, it's similar to Machsheves Chutz Lizmanoi, which is never mutter. However, regarding Tuma, there are exceptions to the rule, and therefore it's not similar to Orla. Eima Sefer. So now let's quote. Donin Dovor Shalui Hutar Michloloi Midovor Shalui Hutar Michloloi. We learn Orla from Zman because both of them never are mutter. And we do not learn Orla from Tuma, Shahari Hutra Michlolo, because Tuma has its own difference, and that is that it has an exception. There's a times where we waver, where we override the halachas of Tuma. End quote. And now the Gemara is discussing, B'mai, what Tuma are we talking about, which is Hutar Michloloi? Ilema B'tumas Basar. If we're talking about Tumas Basar, that the Korban itself became Tomei, and you say sometimes that's overridden, Heicha Hutra. It's never overridden. There's never a time, at this point the Gemara assumes, there's no time that you're actually allowed to eat a Korban which is Tomei. If the Korban is Tomei, you're not allowed to eat it. It doesn't matter which Korban it is. Elo Pshita, it must be talking about but Tumas Gavra. It must be talking about that the person is Tomei. And where do we find that when a person is Tomei, even though normally he cannot bring a Korban, but even regarding Korban Pesach, sometimes it's overridden. V'heicha Hutra Michlolo, where is it overridden? Where's the exception? B'tzibur. We know that Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, if most of the people in Klal Yisrael or most of the Kohanim are Tomei, one's allowed to bring Korban Pesach, even though the people who are bringing the Korbanis are Tomei. So that must be talking about, if it's Hutar Michloloi, it must be talking about Tumas Gavra. If so, the question comes back, how can you say that when the Braisa initially wanted to learn Orla from Tuma, he's learning it from Tumas Bosor, But then when we're trying to say that you cannot learn from Tumas Basar because it's not similar to our law, we say because it's Hutar Mechloloi, that's not true by Tumas Basar. That's only true by Tumas Gavra. Reisha b'Tumas Basar, Seifa b'Tumas Gavra. Says the Gemara again, in, yes, it's not a problem, Shem Tumah Koparich. It's true that it's a different element of Tumah. But when you want to learn Orlo from Tumas Basar, you cannot do that, because Tumas Basar belongs to a group of halachas of Tumah, and one element of the halachas of Tumah has an exception, namely Tumas Gavra, and therefore don't learn Orlo from Tumah. V'iboy Seima, all says the Gemara, Kula b'Tumas Basar. It could be that even this last point in the Brisa, where you cannot learn from Tumah because Tumah has an exception, is also talking about Tumas Basar. V'heicho Hutra, where do you find that the korban itself is Tomei and it's Mutar? Answers the Gemara, B'Tumas Pesach. Indeed, by Korban Pesach, that even when the Korban itself is Tomei, and this is unique to Korban Pesach, the Korban itself is Tomei, nonetheless you can eat it. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Pesach Habo B'Tumah, a type of Korban Pesach that was brought when most of the people were Tomei. And even though in other Korbanos that are brought B'Tumah, you're not allowed to eat the Korban, there are korbanos that are hutra b'tzibur, but you're not allowed to, when the animal becomes tomei, you're not allowed to eat it. However, korban pesach is different. As we said before, since the main purpose of korban pesach is to eat it, the same posuk that allows you to override tumah to bring a korban pesach must allow you to eat it as well. Even though the korban pesach itself is going to become tomei and is tomei, then it's hutra b'tzibur and you can eat the korban. Pesach haba b'tumah, nechal b'tumah. Shelo yibo mitchilo se'elo la'achila. Since the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is to eat it, if the Torah allowed you to bring the Korban Pesach b'tumah, it must have allowed you to eat it, even though the Korban Pesach became tomei. If so, according to the second explanation, you've got the whole Braisa is referring to Tumas Basar. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is now going back to another aspect of the sugya we learned in the previous daf. We saw at the top of Daf Samech Aleph Amud Beis that what happens if somebody shechts a Korban Pesach with the intentions that the Zrikas Adam should atone for the Arelim, only for Arelim. And we saw it was a Machleikus. Rav Chisda said it was possible, Rabba said it was kosher. And we saw there was a Rabba and Rav Chisda in the Gemara based on the above-mentioned Braisa. We do not need to go into that again. Rav Ashi at the end of the Gemara said that the Machleikus Rav Chisda and Rabba is talking about only Arelim that are Sheloilim Nuyov. They were not registered on this Korban Pesach. And since they're Sheloilim Nuyov, there's no issue here. We don't discuss the machsheves oichlin, the fact that these arelim can't eat the Korban Pesach is a non-topic, a non-issue for those who are not menuim, for those who are not registered on the Korban Pesach. Why is an issue? But that's what we saw clearly in the previous sugya. So what is the machlekes? That we know that Korban Pesach, that one of the avoidas are done with shinui bailim, not for the people that this Korban belongs to, and Shaloilim Nuyov is an example of that, then the Korban will be pasul. However, we learn out from a pasuk of Nirtzolei Lechapir Olov that bringing a Korban for somebody who the Korban doesn't belong to is only an issue if that somebody else is similar to the real owners. In the same way as the real owners were somebody who was able to be atoned for, the other person must be somebody who theoretically could be atoned for by this korban, since he's not the owners. Sprinkling the blood with intentions for him is going to make the korban possible. The question is, relative to Korban Pesach, is an oral considered similar to the owners or not? Since the owners themselves are bar kapora, they can be atoned for by the Korban Pesach, and the Loshen Kapora is a challenging one, and we've had it a few times because Korban Pesach is not coming to atone. So it's a discussion in the Rishonim, but since there's a Zrikas Adam, we view it as if it's also got some level of atonement. It's called Kapora. There's Hartzoas Domim. It's not the topic we're learning now. But So the Rav Ashi said that was the machlekes between Rav Chisda and Rabba. Rabba says that the Korban Pesach can only atone for an oral, for a mohol. An oral has got no connection, no association to Korban Pesach. Therefore, if you sprinkle the blood for an oral, we just disregard that and the animal remains kosher. Rav Chisda, however, says that even an oral is associated to Korban Pesach. Why? Hoil, since this oral could do bris milah, and if he does bris milah, he will be able to be atoned for by this Korban Pesach, therefore he's similar to the owner, and shechting for him, since he's not registered on the Korban, is considered a shinui bailim, and is posel. That is what we saw before. And then the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph asked a question that we know that in Hilchas Yom Tov, Rav Chisda does not hold of hoil. And over here, Rav Chisda does hold of hoil. And the Gemara explained that Rav Chisda only holds of hoil as a chumrah. In Yom Tov, saying hoil would have made a kula, that the person doesn't get malchus, as we saw in the previous Gemara. We're not going back there now. However, in this case here with the korban, using hoil would mean that that oral is associated to the korban, and doing the zrika for him is a shelolim nuyav, is a shinui bailim, and therefore it's possible according to Rav Chisda. Because Rav Chisda only uses hoyl l'chumra. If the hoyl will cause a chumra, then we use it. And that's what the Gemara is now coming on. Mosiv Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua. Another halacha. HaPesach she'ibrosh nosi. We know the halacha is, and this is learnt out from a posuk, Zohar ben Shono, that the Korban Pesach has to be brought from a sheep that was within a year old. If, for example, the sheep was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan the year earlier, and by the time Erev Pesach comes the 14th of Nisan, this sheep is already a year plus. It's now no longer got the status of a Korban Pesach, it now receives the status of a Korban Shlomim. We know, and we're going to learn about this later on in the Masechta, that Korban Pesach, which is Shaloi Bizmanui, that cannot be brought or isn't brought on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, has the status of a Korban Shlomim. HaPesach, the Korban Pesach she'ibrosh nosoi, it received the title, the status of a Shlomim, because it's more than a year old. V'shochatoi Bizmanui Lishmoi, and they shechted it on Erev Pesach L'shem Pesach. On Erev Pesach in the afternoon, L'shem Korban Pesach. V'chein, and similarly, Hashechet Acherim, if you took a Korban Shlomim, a regular Korban Shlomim, and you shechted it L'shem Pesach Bizmanoi, on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, you shechted the Shlomim L'shem Korban Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer Poisel. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's completely possible. So these are just two different examples of how a Korban Shlomim is brought for a Korban L'shem, in the name of Korban Pesach, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Either it was originally made a Korban Pesach and cannot be brought as a Korban Pesach because it's more than a year old, or if it was a Shlomim. Either way, it's a Korban that has the status of Shlomim, was shechted L'shem Pesach on Erev Pesach Bizmanui. Rabbi Eliezer says, Poisel, Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says it's kosher, because we know the halacha is that every shlomim that's shechted shaloi lishmo, shlomim that's shechted l'shem Pesach, is kosher. Only a korban Pesach, a proper korban Pesach, or a proper korban chatos that's shechted shaloi lishmo is posel. However, any other korban, this is a mission at the beginning of Zvachim, any other korban which is shechted shaloi lishmo, which means any shlomim shechted for Pesach, the whole year round, the Shlomim Shechted for Pesach is definitely kosher. And Rabbi Shua says the same applies on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Rabbi Eliezer also agrees that Shlomim L'Shem Pesach the whole year round will be kosher. He just says that Shlomim L'Shem Pesach is as bad as Pesach L'Shem Shlomim, we'll soon see this inside, is as bad as Pesach L'Shem Shlomim on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and a Korban Pesach that's Shechted Shloi L'Shmoi is posel. And the same as on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, Pesach L'Shem Shlomim is posel, so too Shlomim L'Shem Pesach is posel. The whole year round, and according to Yeshua, even Erev Pesach after Chatzos, Shlomim L'Shem Chatos, L'Shem Pesach is kosher. Now our limitations, whether it's Olu L'Bailim L'Shem Choyva, Loi Olu L'Bailim L'Shem Choyva, if the owners have to bring another korban or not, is a discussion elsewhere in Shas, in Zvachim, and other places, but that's what we're learning here. Now the Gemara explains, Taima, the only reason that Rabbi Eliezer says that a shlomim that is shechted l'shem Pesach on Erev Pesach after Chatzos is because it's Erev Pesach after Chatzos, is bizmanoi. Ha shaloi bizmanoi, if you shechted the korban shlomim l'shem Pesach, not Erev Pesach after Chatzos, kosher, it's going to be kosher. As we said before, that a shlomim l'shem Pesach, a shlomim which is brought shaloi l'shma, the rest of the year, is kosher. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Chisda, who says that you say hoyil l'chumra, v'amai, name a hoyil since what? Since ubizmanoi poisel. If this person would wait with his shlomim till Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and had he then shechted it l'shem Pesach, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, it would be posel, then even now, when he's shechting it the whole rest of the year, it should also be posel. No different to this oral that had he done Bris Mila, then this person that did the Zrikas Hadam with the intentions of atoning for this oral, since he could have done Mila, and had he done Mila, he would be similar enough to the owners that he's considered as Shinui Bailim and his posel. So now, even though he didn't do Mila, since he could have done Mila, we're going to be Machmir. Here too, since he could have waited till Erev Pesach, and had he shechted on Erev Pesach, Shlomim L'Shem Pesach, it would be posel, then even the rest of the year, when it's not Erev Pesach, it should also be posel. Shelei Bizmanu Nami Posel. Answers the Gemara Omer of Popa, no. Pesach is different. We have a Xeris HaKosov that tells us that the psul of shechting for Pesach or shechting Pesach for something else is very limited, and the Pasuk makes that clear. Shani osam d'omar kro. The Pasuk says, Va'amartem zevach Pesach hu l'shem. And you will say that this korban is a korban Pesach hu l'shem. What does it mean, hu? It means it is. It should be what it's supposed to be, which means keep it lishmo. Hu b'havyosoi, that the korban Pesach must be brought lishma. And if loy hu l'shem acherim, but if you bring a korban Pesach shaloy lishma as if in the name of another korban, it will be posel. V'loy acherim lishmoi. Only Pesach, and only this korban Pesach can be a korban Pesach. Anything else that is shechted l'shem korban Pesach will be posel. And we compare the two. That means the hu b'havyosei, korban Pesach, has to be and remain korban Pesach, which tells us that Pesach l'shem shlomim, or shlomim l'shem Pesach is posel. We compare those two. So bizmanoi, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, shehu posel l'shem achirim, that if you shech the korban Pesach l'shem shlomim, it's going to be posel, achirim psulim l'shmoi. So too shlomim l'shem Pesach will be posel. Shaloi bizmanui. However, if it's not Erev Pesach after Chatzos, shehu kosher l'shem achirim. We know from other sources that Pesach, which is shechted l'shem shlomim the whole year round, is kosher. So too achirim ksherim l'shmoi, shlomim that is shechted l'shem Pesach, if it's not Erev Pesach after Chatzos, it's going to be kosher. And therefore, there's no question of using hoil. The pasuk makes it very clear that we compare Shlomim l'shem Pesach to Pesach l'shem Shlomim, and that psul is only on Erev Pesach after Chatzos and not the rest of the year. And we don't say that the rest of the year should be posel hoyel that you could have done Erev Pesach. No, we learn from this pasuk that it's a psul that's unique to Erev Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Another Gemara is going to ask an apparent contradiction, so to speak, between two Mishnayos. In one Mishnah we saw that, and this is a Mishnah we learned on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, that if you shechted a korban lishmoi v'shaloi lishmoi, partially l'shem the korban it's supposed to be, and partially l'shem a different korban, then we said there that the korban is posel. That means if you shechted a korban Pesach only partially l'shem Pesach, partially l'shem shlomim, it's posel. However, the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph said, if you shechted the korban Pesach partially l'shem oichlov, partially shaloi l'shem oichlov, it's kosher. Why should there be a difference between the two? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. But there's a little introduction in this Gemara, which is interesting, but let's see it inside. Rav Samloi also lekamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Samloi came in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Omer lei said to Rabbi Yochanan, Nisneli mar, my master, Rabbi Yochanan, please teach me Sefer Yuchsin, the braisa that discusses the Yichus, of which is very much spoken about at length in Divrei Yomim, the Yichus of the history of Klal Yisrael, is very much outlined there. And there was a Braisa that explained the different names and many different aspects. We'll soon see. And Rav Samloi said to Rabbi Yochanan, please teach me that Braisa of Sefer Yuchsin, which is, the Yuchsin is another name for Divrei Yomim. Omer Le, so Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Samloi, Mehechon At, where are you from? Omer Le, Rav Samloi said, Milud, I come from Lud. Vehechon Moisvach, so I know you originate from Lud, where do you live today? But Narada, I live in Narada. Omer Le, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Samloi, Ein nidoinin loy leludim vloy lenaradoim. No, it's accepted that we do not teach the Yichus to people from Lud or the people from Narada. And Rashi is saying it could be that he was just trying to push him away, he didn't want to teach it to him, or it could be that the people who lived in those places, they themselves were not miyuchasim, and therefore they didn't want to teach it to them. Either way, Rabbi Yochanan did not want to teach it to Rav Samloi. The Kolshken, and even more so, you Rav Samloi, da'at mi Lud, that you originate from Lud, u'moisoch ben Narada, and you live in Narada, so you have also the disadvantages of Lud and Narada, of course, I don't want to teach it to you. Kafye, Rav Samloi pressurized Rav Yochanan, v'artze, and finally Rav Yochanan agreed to teach it to him. Omale, Rav Samloi then said to Rav Yochanan, nesnaya begimel yarcha, let's try and finish learning this braisa within 3 months' time. So what did Rav Yochanan do? Shokal, kolo, he took a clump of earth, posak, bay, and he threw it at Rav Samloi, as if to say, on earth, what sort of expectations are you having? Omer Le, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Samloi, Uma Bruria, if Bruria, the bisu de Rav Meir, the wife of Rav Meir, we've met her before in Shas, Brate de Rav Chanino ben Taradion, who was the daughter of Rav Chanino ben Taradion, the Tanya, where she learned Tlas Meo Shmaita, she learned 300 teachings, Beyoma in one day, Migimel Meo Rabvasa, from 300 teachers, v'afila hachalo yotzei de chivosa betlas shnin, and nonetheless, after 3 years, she didn't manage to complete learning and the teachings of the Sefer Yuchsin of the Divrei Yomim, v'at and you're samloi, omros betlas yarcha, you want me to teach it to you in 3 months? Kishokil v'ozil, as Rav Samloi started leaving Rabbi Yochanan, omale Rav Samloi said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, my master, Rabbi Yochanan, I want to ask you a question. And this is what we mentioned before. Ma bein lishmoi v'sheloi lishmoi. Why does the Mishnah Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis regarding lishmoi v'sheloi lishmoi say that it's possible? And la'oichlov v'sheloi la'oichlov, but the Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph that speaks about la'oichlov and sheloi la'oichlov says it's kosher. Omale, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Samloi, hoil v'tzur v'mirabonon at. Since you're a Talmud Chacham, tov eimelecha. Come and I'll tell you that there are 4 things that are more stringent in the concepts of lishmoy and shaloi lishmoy than there are, that's called shinui kodesh. There's 4 things that are more chomor than shinui oichlim. And we saw something similar regarding shinui bailim in the Gemara before and of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, and Tosfos here notes the fine differences between the two sugyas, but here we're talking about the difference between shinui kodesh and shinui oichlim. What are the 4 differences? Number 1, lishmoy v'shaloi lishmoy, regarding shinui kodesh, which means what is the status of this korban? Is it a korban pesach? Is it a korban shlomim? Psulei begufoy, it's an intention which affects the essence of the animal. Is this animal a korban shlomim? Is this animal a korban pesach? So having a thought that this korban should be a korban shlomim when in truth it's a korban pesach, that could seriously make it possible. However, in contrast to that, la'oichlov v'shaloi la'oichlov, if you're just thinking not about the definition, not about the essence of the korban, rather the people who are eating the korban, in psulei begufoy, you're not messing with the actual korban, with the essence of the korban, just who's going to eat it, muhulim or arelim, so that's not considered a psul in the essence of the korban. A second thing, says the Gemara, lishmoy v'shaloi lishmoy, regarding the Shinui Kodesh, if you have in mind also Pesach, also Shlomim, Eif Shelevarer Isurai, then there's no way of verifying that which part of the Korban, part of it will be L'Shem Pesach, part will be L'Shem Shlomim. You shechted the whole Korban, L'Shem Pesach and L'Shem Shlomim. There's no way of verifying the different parts of the Korban. However, L'Oichlov V'Shalai L'Oichlov, Eif Shelevarer Isurai. However, if you had in mind Mehulim and Arelim, then one can see, half of the korban is going to be eaten by Mehulim, half of the korban is going to be eaten by Arelim. And therefore, since there's a defined part of that korban which is going to be distinctly for Mehulim, the korban can be kosher. Rashi has another explanation as well, but this is Rashi's first explanation. The third difference between Shinui Kodesh and the Oichlim is that Lishmoy v'shaloi Lishmoy yeshnei b'dalad avoidos. The psul of Shinui Kodesh, if you have the wrong intentions for the wrong Korban, Pesach and Shlomim, then Shinui Kodesh is a psul which applies when one has that intention by any one of the four avoides, either Shchita, or Kabbalah Sadam, or Hailocha Sadam, or Zrika Sadam. However, La'oichlov v'shaloi la'oichlov, eino b'arba avoides. The psul of Shulei La'oichlov, that means Psul Oichlin, we already saw before. Ein Machsheves Oichlin Bizrika. We learn that from the Pasuk, that only by Achila, but only by Shchita, there's a Psul of the Oichlin. So you see there's a stringency, another stringency by Shinui Kodesh that you don't have by Oichlin. And the fourth difference is that Shulei Lishmoy v'Shulei Lishmoy Yeshnei B'tzibur K'b'yochid. The concept of Shinui Kodesh applies to all korbonis, to korbonis that belong to an individual and to korbonis that belong to the tzibur. La'oichlov v'shaloi la'oichlov, however, this unique halacha that a korban has to be la'oichlov, ish lefi ochloi tochoisu, which is a din unique to korban Pesach, einei b'tzibur k'b'yochid, it never applies to a korban tzibur, it only ever applies to korban Pesach, which is a korban yochid. So you see another place, another area where Shinui Kodesh is more chomor. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi comments on these four and says that it's not really four, it's three. Psulei v'gufoi, this concept that Shinui Kodesh is a psul in the essence of the korban, v'ief shelevarer isurai, and the fact that you cannot verify which part, that part of it is shlomim, part of it is Pesach, which means that the machshova of Pesach on Shlomim applies, they both apply to the whole Korban, Chodomilsi. It's the same difference. It's not a separate thing. Because before we said that Psulei Begufoi, Shinui Kodesh, you're thinking about the animal itself, but the Oichlim, you're not thinking about the animal, you're thinking about the people who are eating the animal, they're eating the Korban. And that's why it's not Psul Haguf. Ravashi argues with that and says that the reason that La'oichlov v'shaloi la'oichlov is not called a psul begufoi is not because you're not talking about, not thinking about the animal, you're thinking about the people. No, it's by virtue of the fact that one can tell that this part of the animal is going to be eaten by Mehulim, part by Arelim, part by Oichlov, part by Loi La'oichlov. Therefore, it's not considered a psul begufoi. But just because you're thinking about the people and not the animal, that would not mean that it's not psul in the essence of the korban. And he says as follows: Isur chodemilsi, d'ma tam omar psulei begufoi nishum de'yev shelevarer isurei. The reason it's considered a psul begufoi Shinui Kodesh is not because your intentions was on the animal. No, but because you cannot verify the different parts of the animal, that's why it's considered a psul in the essence of the animal. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rami Bar Yuda, Omar Rav, miyoyim shenigna seifa yuchsin, from the time that this brisa discussing Divrei Yomim, the yichus of Divrei Yomim, was forgotten, toshash koichon shel chachomim, the power of the chachomim became weakened, v'keho e mo'er enim, and the shine in their eyes became dimmed. Omar Mazutra. Mazutra says that in one single parasha within Divrei Hayomim, that's in Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Ches, Posuk Lamed Ches, through to Perek Tes, Posuk Mem Dalad, that it starts off with the Posuk Ule Otzel Shishavonim, that Otzil had six sons. It finishes off Eile b'nei Otzil, and bein Otzil le'Otzil to'inu. We loaded Dalad Me'o Gamli, 400 camels were loaded, the drosha, with the droshas that this Braisa made and that the Chachomim had, just in this one parasha in Divrei Ayomim. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that if you shecht a korban Pesach le'muhulim and for arelim, that's called miktsas orla, part of the group are arelim, the korban is kosher. Now we're going to see in this Braisa, not everybody agrees with this, and there's going to be the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Meir is also known as Acherim. That's one of the names that Reb Meir was known as. And he's going to say it a little bit differently. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Acherim Oimrim. Acherim say it depends, if you had in mind Mehulim and Arelim, it depends which one you had in mind first. Higdim Mulim La'arelim Kosher. If you first had in mind and you first verbalized Mulim and then Arelim, then it's kosher. Arelim le mulim, however, if you first thought about the arelim and then the mulim, then posel, it's posel. Asks the Gemara, maishna mulim la arelim de kosher. Why in the, if you first think about the mulim and then the arelim, why is it kosher? De kula or lo ba'inon. Because in order for the korban to be posel, the whole group has to be arelim. If so, veleka, and you haven't got the whole group as arelim because you thought about the muhulim as well. If so, asks the Gemara, arelim lemulim nami. Even if you thought about the arelim before the muhulim, kula orlo ba'inon veleka, in order for it to be possible, you need the whole group to be arelim, and you haven't got that. So the Gemara is asking, well, how do you understand Reb Meir, who says that if you said arelim before mulim, then it's possible? Our Mishnah doesn't make a difference. The Mishnah says mulim v'arelim, it's in any instance, it's kosher. Reb Meir says, no, if arelim was before mulim, it's posel. And the Gemara doesn't understand why. And the Gemara is now going to have three different explanations as to explain Reb Meir. The first one is lema. And the Gemara is suggesting, should we say that kosovra acherim, that Reb Meir holds, eino l'shchita elo b'soif? And this is a sugya in Zvachim Daf Lamed, that even though we know that in order for a shechita, for slaughtering to be kosher, you have to shecht most of the two pipes. There's the windpipe and the food pipe, the kono and the veshet, and you have to shecht roiv of the two simonim. Each one is called a simon. The question is, it's clear that you have to shecht roiv of them. But at what point is the shechita considered legally, this is the point of shechita? Is it the whole way through? Or is it just at that last point when you've shechted, that point where you've gone to the roiv, you've shechted most of the simonim? So the Gemara is suggesting that Reb Meir holds, eino l'shchita elo l'basayf. And since the halachic point of shechita is a fleeting moment, there's no time in that moment to think two things. So if a person had two thoughts, only the first of the two will actually be chal, will actually happen to that point of shechita. If you say that yeshno l'shechita mitchilo v'atzoif, that the whole shechita is considered the shechita, then you can have two kavonis, and they both apply to the shechita. But if you say ein l'shechita elo l'basoif, you cannot have more than a fleeting thought, and that's only going to be one of the things you had in mind. We assume it to be the first one. So the Gemara is saying, could it be that leima kosovra acherim eino l'shechita elo l'basoif? Or could a rova? And as Rava says, Da'oma Rava adayin hi machlekes. And we're not going to go into that here. Rashi's got an arichos here if you want to see it inside. But this is a long sugya in Zvachim Daf Lamed that we see from there that Rava has this opinion that ein neshchita elo lebasayif. And we know that Acherim, that in Reb Meir, Rava says that Reb Meir holds ein neshchita elo lebasayif. We know that Acherim is Reb Meir. Is that what's going on here? Is that the... Is, and therefore we can understand, if you first had in mind mulim and then arelim, it's kosher, because the first thought that you had was mulim. However, if the first thought you had was arelim, then there was no time for the part of your machshava of muhulim to happen to the shechita, and therefore it's going to be posel. Hilkoch, therefore, hikdim mulim l'arelim, if you first thought about the mulim to the arelim, mulim chayli, arelim loy chayli, the chalois, that means what happens to the shechita is the thought of mulim. That's kosher. And Arelim loy chayli, the thought of Arelim didn't have time to happen to the Shechita. Higdim Arelim lemulim, Arelim chayli, mulim loy chayli. That's what the Gemara wanted to say to explain the Reb Meir, to explain the Acherim. So that was a suggestion the Gemara had to explain Acherim. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba, loy. There's no reason to say that Acherim here holds that Ein Shechita Ala L'Basayif, Lo'ilam Kasavra Acherim, it could well be Reb Meir holds, Yesh No L'Shechita Mitchila V'Ad Sayif, that there's enough time in the whole Shechita for two thoughts, also Mulim, also Arelim. And therefore, as far as that's concerned, they should both be kosher, irrespective of whether you thought of the Mulim first or you thought of the Arelim first. So what's the going on here? V'hocha B'mayoskinon, K'goin Shegomar B'liboy L'Tarvayu. He had his intentions for both of them. Bein the mulin, bein la reilim. That the Korban Pesach should be also for the mulim, also for the reilim. V'hoitzi bepiv, but when he verbalized his intention, la reilim, v'lo yispik lo ima le mulim, al shenigmar shchita, ba reilim. But he didn't manage to say the word that he wants it to be for the mulim before he finished the shchita. So when he finished the shchita, he was still saying areilim. That's what it means, Arelim Mulim. Ubahokamiflegi. And that's the machlekes that Reb Meir hid, Reb Meir Sovar, Loiboin on Piv Liboy Shovim. The Reb Meir says that it's possible. Why? Because even though in his mind, in his heart, he intended that it should be also for the Mulim, but since what's going on in his heart does not have to be congruent with what he said, and since what he said is only Arelim, therefore it's possible. Rabbanon say no, but inon piv liboy shavim. The Rabbanon say that the mouth and the heart have to be congruent, and since in his heart he had in mind also the mehulim, the fact that he only managed to say arelim, it doesn't mean that the korban is uniquely just for arelim, and therefore it's kosher. Asks the Gemara, v'kasova Reb Meir loy ba inon piv liboy shavim. Is it true that Reb Meir holds that the mouth and the heart doesn't need to be hand in hand? Doesn't that means we can consider what he said with his mouth, even though it's not congruent with what he had in his heart? Or Aminu, this seems to contradict a Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, and we know there's a rule that anonymous Mishnayos are Reb Meir. It says in that Mishnah, Hamiskavin loymar truma v'omar meiser. If a person intended to say that this food in front of him is truma, instead of saying the words truma, he said meiser. Meiser, he wanted to say meiser, he said truma. Oisha eini nichnas lebayi zeh, he wanted to make a vow, I'm not going into house A. V'omar lezeh, and then he said, I'm not going into house B, but he intended to say house A. She'eini nene lezeh, v'omar lezeh. I'm not going to be of benefit to Reuven, and by mistake he said Shimon. Loi omar klum. Then in all these cases, what he said with his mouth, since it's not what he wanted to say, it's not what he was thinking about, we disregard it. We only give substance to what he says if it's congruent to what he wanted to say. So you see clearly that Reb Meir doesn't say that you need, that Reb Meir says you need Piv V'Liboy Shovin. If so, if you need Piv V'Liboy Shovin, then back to our case here. If he said Arelim and Mulim, even though he only said Arelim, he wanted to say Arelim and Mulim, why is it possible? Just because he just said Arelim, in his heart he wanted the Mulim as well. Elom Abaya is giving a third explanation to Acherim here. Reisha, the first line of Acherim, when it says Mulim and Arelim, the Omar, it's when he explicitly said as follows, Simon Risha, in the first Simon, if he is going to Shecht, oh, there's two simonim, the windpipe and the food pipe. He says, the first one I shecht, le mulim. I'm having in mind mulim. The simon sheni, and the second one, afla arelim. And the second one I'm having in mind, not only the mulim, also the arelim. The besimon sheni, when he shechted the second simon, nami psichi bei mulin. Included in the arelim was also with mulim. And therefore, both simonim were also shechted for mulim, not only for arelim, and therefore it's kosher. Save for the second line, when he said arelim and mulim, the omar simon rishon arelim, he said the first simon should be just for arelim. Simon sheni le mulim. And the second simon is going to be for the mulim. And to be simon rishon haloi psichi ba milin. Mulin. That means when he said arelim, he meant the first simon will be just for arelim. since the first siman is just for Elim, and the second siman is also mulim, or maybe only mulim, that doesn't matter, and therefore a mayor says it's possible. Why? It's a good, big question here. The whole shechita, look at the overall shechita. It's true that there's two conditions. For shechita to be kosher, you need to have two things. You need to have the first siman to be shechted and the second siman to be shechted. But if you look at the whole shechita, it's for mulim and arelim. It should be kosher. Says the Gemara, no. Rab Meir letamei. This is the opinion of Rab Meir. De Omar mefaglin bechatzi matir. If somebody has an intention of pigul, or for that matter, the Gemara here seems to say any machshavas psul, and you have that machshava on only part of the matir. If you need for something to be kosher, you need two things to happen. For example, for korban mincha, you have the koimutz, you have the levoina. What happens if, and without that, the mincha is not kosher? You put them both on the mizbeach. What happens if only one of them you did with a machsheves psul? That's the question of, are we mefaglin? Can you make something pigul? Pigul is the term used for machsheves psul. Pigul actually means that you had in mind to eat the korban chutz lizmanui. But either way, mefaglin and machsheves psul, bechatzi matir, on just half of the matir, on one of the two conditions. And so Rav Meir here says that since one of the simonim, which is one of the matirin, he had in mind exclusively arelim, and mefaglin bechatzi matir, so this part of the matir was exclusively only arelim, therefore it's possible. Rabbonon l'tamayu, the Rabbonon who don't make this differentiation, and they just say arelim and mulim, it's always kosher. Da'omri ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. They say you never look at just half a matir. You have to look at the whole matir. The whole shechita as a whole was arelim and mulim, and therefore it's kosher. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.